Good evening. Welcome to the City Council of Gustavus General Meeting for November 13th, 2023. At 7 p.m., I'd like to call the November 13th, 2023 General Meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Councilmember Taylor?
Here.
Councilmember Bishop?
Here.
Councilmember Makoviak?
You're in for
Councilmember or Vice Mayor Taylor. Councilmember Patrick.
Here.
Councilmember Driscoll.
Here.
Madam Mayor. A quorum is present.
Councilmember Patrick will read the vision statement.
We envision a distinctive community that prospers well and by protecting its natural resources with a sustainable economy and infrastructure that assures public health and safety while promoting personal development and initiative, and where all members take social responsibility and actively participate in decision-making affecting growth, development, regulation, and enforcement, and in which people retain a closeness with and caring for each other individually and collectively while working together to accomplish community goals and preserve community traditions.
Okay, thank you, Mayor Patrick. I'd like to make a few remarks before we get started. I've had a busy month coming up to speed with the work and activities at City Hall. I'm reminded of the description of ducks floating serenely on the surface of the water, but when you back look below the surface, you see all the paddling and churning that goes on underneath. Mike has left big boots to fill, and I have him to thank for the serenity of City Hall. I'm also amazed and grateful for Kathy, Ben, and Liesl for their patience and humor in helping me get adjusted. Lastly, I want to commend Mike for the excellence in his annual summary and monthly reports and his continuing leadership and support. And at this point, the council would like to make a commendation to you. I'll read the certificate of appreciation presented to Mike Taylor in recognition of outstanding dedication and commitment for his service as mayor of the city of Gustavus, Alaska during his term of office, October 21st through October 23. Mayor Taylor has represented the town and council at engagements within and outside the community with integrity and honor, and promoted the city of Gustavus as a place to visit, live, and work. The council therefore wishes to present him with the certificate of appreciation for his commitment to the town and its people, awarded this 13th day of November, 2023. Shelley Owen, City of Gustavus Mayor.
Oh, thank you. I'm truly honored.
Did you have any remarks you might like to say?
Oh, I didn't. I'm not as prepared as you were. it's been, was a great pleasure to serve in the role, and it's also a great pleasure to have the opportunity to turn it over to a capable new mayor. And so my thanks to you for being willing to take the responsibility, and it's a pleasure to continue working with you. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Likewise. All right. Before starting the meeting, we will ask the public to mute their phones and keep the video off. The meeting is being recorded and will be posted to the website. The packet will be projected and is also available online at cms.gustavus-ak.gov. The first item is the approval of minutes for October 6, 2023, the City Council Election Review Committee meeting minutes, and October 9th, 2023, general meeting minutes. Council Member Jim Moskowiak, I will move the motion to approve the minutes, please.
I move to approve by unanimous consent the October 6th, 2023 City Council Election Review Committee meeting minutes and the October 9th general meeting minutes.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Moskowiak and seconded by former Mayor Taylor. The motion is to approve by unanimous consent the October 6, 2023 City Council Election Review Committee meeting minutes and the October 9th, 2023 general meeting minutes. The minutes have been previously distributed. Do members of the public wish to offer any additions or corrections to the minutes? Anybody online? Okay. We don't see any hands raised, and no one in the council or in the city hall wishes to offer any corrections or additions. Do any council members wish to make any additions or corrections to the minutes?
Madam Mayor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Mayor Taylor.
I noted three typos that I shared with the clerk. For the general meeting minutes, and the first was in what I think is item three, was the nomination of vice mayor, where they reversed Shelley Owens' name with Kyle Bishop, and it should read Shelley Owens nominated Kyle Bishop instead of the other way around. And in paragraph 13, the paragraph was duplicated, so that's just a typo also. And in paragraph 16, the word my would be replaced by was what was intended there. I've shared those with her. I think those are just typographical errors that the clerk can make without any amendment by the council, in my view, unless somebody objects.
Are there any objections?
I thought we were on the election review committee one. Are we on number one or number two?
We're doing them jointly together.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry. Is that an objection? Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. If there are no objections to passing the October 6, 2023 City Council Election Review Committee minutes, that's a question. Any objections? Okay. Any objections to passing the 10 October 9th, 2023 general meeting minutes with the corrections as noted? Hearing no objections, the motion is passed by unanimous consent. At this point, the mayor requests agenda changes, and I don't have any agenda changes to suggest. Are there requests from the council for agenda changes? Are there any objections to adopting the agenda by unanimous consent? Okay, hearing no adoptions, the agenda is adopted by unanimous consent. We'll move on to committee reports and staff reports. I'll invite the staff presenters in the order listed to speak. State your name, department, and try to keep the reports to 5 minutes or less. We will then offer the council an opportunity to ask clarifying questions only. First up is the Gustavus Visitors Association quarterly report with Leah Oaken.
Thank you, City Council and Madam Mayor. My name is Leah Oaken, representing the Gustavus Visitor Association. And thank you for the opportunity of an update. I realized when I printed out this report how tiny the images are and the writing is. So anybody who would actually like to see the report may want to view it online where you can zoom it in. Or let me know and I'll send it to you in a larger format because some of the things are difficult to read. The Visitor Association continues to do things that we can think of to assist the community and benefit the businesses, the economy, and everybody that lives here and works for Gustavus or has Gustavus city-based businesses. And the biggest items that we're working on at the moment, we're continuing to work on, is the Gustavus Film Project, where we have we brought some film crew and we interviewed about 15 people of the Gustavus community, trying to get an essence of the personalities and the characters that live here. And one aspect that the film crew didn't get is wildlife footage, because we can gather that. And you also have to be at the right place at the right time. So members of the public, businesses will be seeing some sort of way we can encourage people to submit video footage of wildlife that we can contribute to this video project. And the project, again, is to benefit the community and to draw tourism and people to come and visit Gustavus. The other big item we're working on is the continuation of the beach sign project. You'll see that the beach sign was moved, and we're working this winter to upgrade the content. So it's going to be very much Gustavus-based content that's going to go in there. And we continue with our memberships of the Alaska Travel Industry Association and the Southeast Alaska Tourism Council and various other tourism memberships. And this quarter, our focus is going to be on the membership drive, so trying to get more of the businesses to join the GVA so we can further liven up our website. Because our website and how many hits we have and how many conversions we have, people who visit the website and that get converted into visiting the town or spending longer on the website. So that's the big goal, is to all roads lead to the website when you're looking for places to visit. And so we want to make that website as attractive and informative and encouraging as we can for people to visit. Other than that, everything else is in the report. So I am happy to answer questions. And anybody who is a member of the public, if you see me outside wandering around or in Toshco, always feel free to stop me. I'm happy to talk about any subject. So if you have comments and thoughts to pass by me, I'm happy to answer those then as well as now. Thank you.
Madam Mayor.
Okay. Member Taylor.
I've been worried about the apparent decrease in the number of lodges that are available, and particularly those with dining facilities. Going back to the closing of the Gustavus Inn and the Annie Mae converting to bed and breakfast, and others, I understand converting to Airbnb and that sort of thing. And I wonder if there's any approach that we should be taking to encourage the establishment of broader services from the lodges we have and even new lodges. Is that something that the Gustavus Visitors Association could take on?
Well, thank you for the question. Well, we could certainly take it on, but I'm reluctant to take on such a challenge because, as we know, that running a restaurant and maintaining a restaurant and making any money in the restaurant industry is very challenging. Yes, I agree. It's a big problem in Gustavus for the lack of food, and it has been for as long as I can remember. It's been an issue, and it's becoming an increasing issue of lack of places to eat. I'm happy to help in any way we can for as far as the Visitor Association. I think we'd be at a bit of a loss of what we could do. So I'm all ears to anything that you think we could do, or anybody has ideas that we can assist with, we certainly will assist. Yes.
I guess I'd think that it's maybe something you could poll your membership, or if you have any kind of member meetings, because it affects other businesses that, Kimber Owens' business, for example, with the trying to find a place for her people to stay before their cruise, and that where they can be fed and so forth. I've heard from her. It's something that if the lodges and so forth could work on together to find a solution, it would benefit all of them. you know, more than, it's not just for an individual business that starts up and has benefited, it's multiplied through the rest of them, I would think. So that's just my suggestion.
We'll put it on the agenda item of our next meeting and start there and see if we can brainstorm of ways that we can improve the situation.
Yeah, and I think if there's something the city can do to help you promote that, it would make sense for us to do that, you know, to have some, you know, provide some support for that too.
Okay, thank you. Are other council members wanting to ask any clarifying questions? Okay.
Can I just ask one thing?
Yes.
I see the mural is underway here, which is really exciting. And so I was just going to ask, so are they making it on a piece of wood that they'll then hang underneath there? Like she said, the fishes are already painted and stuff. So what are they going to, like, they're not painting it on the boards down there. What are they doing? Hanging something or?
To be honest, I'm not sure that they're going to paint the walls themselves. But I don't know if they're going to attach fish to the wall, but they are most certainly going to paint the underneath of the Salmon River Bridge and, you know, put a whole mural across, because the idea is to combat graffiti and to have something attractive for visitors and people who, you know, are fishing underneath the bridge to look at. But I'm not entirely sure about fish being attached or if they're going to be, you know, painted on there. I don't know how it's going to be.
Okay, thanks. I was just curious. Yeah.
Okay, thank you, Leah.
Thank you very much.
And next up is Ian Barrier with the Gustavus Disposal and Recycling Center.
Good evening, City Council and Madam Mayor. My name is Ian Barrier, and I'm the manager operator at the Disposal and Recycling Center. I know everyone has seen my report, and I don't have a lot to add to that specifically, but I do want to say that everyone should be very grateful for Paul Berry in establishing everything that at the Disposal and Recycling Center. It's an amazing amount of work, if nobody realizes it. Otherwise, another thing that I do want to bring up is Vicki Bender came to me in regards to the community center and just mentioned how nice it would be to have potentially a paid position there, because everybody who works there currently is a senior and there's nobody really replacing anybody who's working there. And at this point in time, I haven't got together with Annie or Vicki to discuss that, but it's something I plan to do, and I just wanted to put it in everyone's minds that that's probably something that the city needs to do sooner than later. Otherwise, if you guys have any specific questions, feel free to ask, because as Leah was saying, I do believe in open communication with the public and council.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Ian? Okay, and thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Ben Sadler, City Treasurer, is up with his monthly financials and the quarterly report.
Thank you, Shelley. Ben Sadler, City Treasurer. I don't have a whole lot to add to my report. So today I kind of did a comparison this year to last year. How are we looking at the end of, basically at the end of the first quarter? And I was surprised at how similar the percentages were compared to how much less money, how conservative the budget was this year compared to last year. Last year's budget was last year's budget was $1.292 million, and this year's is $1.178 million. So $114,000 difference in how we planned it. And still, at this point, last year, our total tax income was 73.1%, and this year it's 74.1%. Her total income was 75.1%, and this year it's 74.8%. And payroll, even though we cut $45,000 from our budgeted payroll, last year at this point we were at 30.8%, and this year we're at 31.1%. So as far as the where we're at financially, I think that we're doing exactly what we'd want to be doing, because last year we came in way under budget. And so if we continue on the same track, I expect us to do the same thing this year. And then as far as my report goes, Shelley asked me to mention a few things that weren't necessarily related to the treasurer position, and it seemed like this would be a better time to do it than coming back out. So the end of last month, beginning of this month, Larry Platt, our Marine Facilities Coordinator, Elm Robichaud with Fairweather Construction, and Chris Hart with Western Marine Construction were able to get all the floats moved into the boat harbor easily. Chris Hart donated his time, so saved money there. I'm sure he's not online, but if you see Chris Hart around, let him know how appreciative we are of that. There was one more thing you wanted me to mention, Shelley.
Oh, I was interested in if you could give us a rundown of items 10 and 11, FY2408 NCO and FY2409 NCO now or after when we do the ordinance for public hearing.
Okay. What would you prefer, now or then?
Why don't we wait?
Okay.
If that's okay.
Then if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Okay. Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes, hi. Yes, thank you. I'm just curious. I remember at some point then talking about an audit that the city was going to have at some point this year, and I was wondering if there's an update on that.
Yes, so I spoke with the company that we've contracted to do the audit today. Their plan is to come out January 15th, the week of January 15th. So they sent me a share file today so that I could start sending them information, so that when the week of the audit comes, we won't be compiling information then. So the audit will take place the week of January 15th, and then they will submit the report to us. It's actually due to the state or to the federal government, whichever, by the end of March. And so they told us that they'd have it to us in plenty of time for us to get it to the whichever agency it is that requires us to do it.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Okay. Thank you, Ben.
Yeah, thank you.
And next up is City Administrator Kathy Leary.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Kathy Leary, City Administrator. Again, we've had a busy month, as the mayor mentioned. We had submitted a CrossFit fund application for the playground equipment. This was after we had heard we weren't going to get the HEC Healthy Communities grant. We didn't expect to hear back from them until towards the end of December, but late last Wednesday afternoon, we received notification that we were funded the full $20,000 request that will go towards the playground equipment. At some point in January, they want to schedule a Zoom meeting to get to know us a little bit and maybe perhaps bring some of their team to Gustavus to check out our community next summer, next fall, whenever their travel schedule allows, so they can see some of our projects and maybe invest in some more. We're hoping we might even get a phase two out of this one. So the overall purpose of their fund is to improve the health of children living in Southeast Alaska. Basically, that's the mission. They have a few more details, but that's it in a nutshell. I'd like to thank Jason and Margaret Custer for introducing us to Malia, who is their liaison, and the CrossFit committee. And thanks to Mike and others for the work to involve all the school children, and Mike's work on the procurement with all the vendors, the installation RFQ, site selection, and the rest yet to come, which I'm sure he can talk about his RFQ in that process. I thought Ian was going to detail his report a little more. So I'll pull up a few more of the details here. On right now, I'm working on the logistics for resolving a scrap metal container contamination that we have. It was refused by the scrap metal company, and it's currently being held in AML's yard in Seattle. They refused it based on very, very low levels of some little isolated place in the container of something containing some radioactivity. It's not a high level, but they can't accept it at all because of their rules in their scrap metal yard for processing scrap metal. So I have, I'm working on procuring a price from an environmental company who can isolate the offending item or substance in question. And we can hopefully remove it and send the rest of the 26,000 pounds back to the scrap metal vendor. I'm waiting on the cost estimate from the environmental company at this point, but there's a lot of pieces to this, and we're trying to do it in the most logical and least expensive way that we can do it in. So that's a bit of a monkey wrench in some of our regular work. We're working together with Sol, Leah, former Mayor Mike, current Mayor Owens, and Dr. Vaught on supporting ways to move the Gustavus Volunteer Fire Department forward through increased volunteerism, support for more relevant training opportunities, and promoting the department. And additionally, we're focusing department leadership on being more prepared for natural disasters through enhanced planning, training, and prioritization of tasks, both organizationally and being response ready at all times. And in doing that, we applied for a Defending Alaska Communities from Wildfire through Community Wildfire Protection. That planning grant's been submitted along with Koyukuk, Skagway, and Dillingham. The Municipal League is seeking funding on behalf to help us create our own plan. And they will work with us to do that once it's received. Hopefully it's received. I continue to work with our road contractor on road condition issues and frequent complaints. Additionally, with Mayor Owens, Councilmember Taylor, and John Barry on individual projects such as ditching and culvert placement in an attempt to help with drainage and to mitigate flooding when the heavy rains arrive. We've had a few hiccups with the Safe Streets for All application, which Councilmember Makoviak can describe. Hopefully, whatever information we've now provided is sufficient. We provided a letter to Alaska Municipal League to receive funding from federal DOT to help rural and disadvantaged communities for technical assistance and pre-planning activities for all of the infrastructure things that are out there, because it's just overwhelming for smaller communities to try to figure it all out all the time. Leah described her activities, and we worked together to develop a survey to businesses and residents on the absence or shortened season of Alaska Airlines regarding how that might impact their business or their lives in general. She's got some responses, but it hasn't been on the street for that long, so we hope to have results of that soon. In that survey, there was a caveat that said, at some point, we may need to ask you for more deeply for financial information, so we have quantifiable data that we can submit if push comes to shove and we have to help out by giving that information to the state. So along with the community center and Dan Lesh and Bobby Hudson, we've finalized the flyer and the arrangements for the Mariculture event coming up this Wednesday. Hopefully some folks will go to that and learn about new economic development opportunities. We met with Senator Keel and Representative Story to discuss Gustavus issues and what's happening around here. And those topics included questions about continuing with the PFAS legislation that the governor vetoed and testing. the health benefits inclusion for municipalities. Since that bill died last year, we were hoping that would pass where they were going to allow municipalities to join the same health care plan pool as state employees, but it didn't get out of committee last year. So we're hoping that'll go through again. Their capital improvement plan request via CAPSIS and potential for project funds. We talked about that. Every year we go through reprioritizing that and council approves it and we submit those CAPSIS projects to the state. He was suggesting that because it's an election year and because the price per barrel of oil is over what it was last year, there's a certain obligation to go into the constitutional budget reserve and remaining stuff usually can get used for additional capital projects. So depending on what our projects are, that we need to focus on health and safety and those type of infrastructure projects and not just kind of nice to have projects. And the council will have to approve that. And we discussed the hydro road among other items. And finally, earlier tonight, right before I jumped home for a break for a minute, I got a call from ADEC, the Environmental Conservation, that our village safe water grant for septic planning in the community will hopefully be forthcoming for signature for us in a couple of weeks. So that's an $88,000 planning grant. And to look at our current situation with our tanks and how we can either expand that or find some other way in the community to have a disposal system so we're not held hostage by sending stuff on a ship out of here. So that's my report. If anybody has any questions.
Member Taylor?
The on that last planning grant, remind me, is there, or does the state have a set consultant there providing to do this, or do we find one ourselves and contract with them? How does that work?
No, so the state has their regional planning person, and they either have an in-house person or they contract. They do the contracting to come and meet with the community and go, you know, meet with community members, meet with council, meet with all the folks, stakeholders involved, to start looking at what some of those alternatives might be. So they will come and they will have an open forum and get everybody's ideas, and they'll probably have to go out and look at the community. And I don't know all the ins and outs till we get the document, but it's not something we contract with. They do.
Good.
Yep.
Excellent news. Is there any idea of a time frame for when they would possibly be coming to the community?
I don't know that yet. Right now, she has to send me. They have to actually post something for 5 days at the post office that says the state will be accepting federal funds on behalf of our community for this purpose. It has to be posted for 5 days for whatever reason. So she's sending me that tomorrow. Then after that, they will send us the written grant agreement. And I'm assuming there will be a timeline or a partial timeline in there for activities, but I won't know till I get it. I'm just glad they finally sent it to us or are sending it to us.
That's great news.
But sorry, I don't have more specifics than that.
That's okay. Would anybody else have questions? Okay. Thank you, Kathy. Coming up next is public comment on non-agenda items. This period is for non-agenda items only and not intended for discussion. The council may ask clarifying questions only. If you would like to make public comment on non-agenda items at this time, for Zoom participants, please click the participants hand icon or the participants icon and then the hand icon to raise your hand. If you do not have that option, unmute your phone. The clerk will add you to the list and remute you until it is your time to speak. State your full name before speaking and refrain from speaking if your comments have already been addressed by another speaker. Please don't use profanity and be respectful in your comments. You'll have one opportunity to comment here and again during public comment before the end of the meeting. Comments should be kept brief. Is anyone, any member of the public wish to make a comment on a non-agenda item at this time? Okay, no one in the City Hall, and it doesn't appear that anyone has raised their hand on Zoom. Okay, the next item is the consent agenda. There are two items on the consent agenda. The first one, which is item 7 in the packet, is a certificate of records destruction. This is our common document from the city clerk based on our records retention schedules, and you'll hear us do this most months. And the second is CY23-13, Shared Fisheries Business Tax for FY24. And I would ask if Treasurer Ben Satter could come and give us a brief overview of what this resolution is about, or ordinance, I guess.
Thank you, Shelley. You are correct. It is a resolution. Basically, the Shared Fisheries Business Tax is money that Southeast communities get because of the closure of fishing in different areas in Southeast Alaska. The resolution is each year when they send out how much money we're going to get, they send out options. There are two allocation options, and every year since we've started doing it, we've taken the alternative allocation method, which is they take the amount of money available, they divide that by the amount of communities, they cut that money in half, and everybody gets half. Then they take the other half and they allocate that by the amount of community members. So this year we will receive $224.56 based on our 50% divided share of $203.81 and $20.75 on our 50% per capita share. So that's what this resolution is.
Madam Mayor, I have a point of order. My senior clerk over here just informed me that the resolution cannot be in the consent agenda. Because it's a resolution, it will need to be moved to new business, and we'll have to read the resolution out loud before making any motions.
I move to adopt the consent agenda minus the CY23-23 Shared Fisheries Business Tax item, leaving solely the Certificate of Records Destruction for unanimous consent.
Apologize. I again forgot to turn on my mic. We have three NCO non-code ordinance that are up for vote tonight, which were previously introduced on October 9th. The first is FY24-07 NCO City Health Accounts and FY24. The second, item 10, is FY24-08 NCO AMLIP Reserve. And the third is FY24-09 NCO Capital Current Transfer. I would ask if Member Taylor would be willing to give us a brief overview of what FY24-07 NCO is.
Okay, Madam Mayor. And then I guess we go to public hearing after that.
Mm-hmm.
When we did our budget for FY24, we were being very careful and very conservative in assuring that we had a balanced budget. And to that end, we decided not to consider any carryover from the previous year other than items that we absolutely knew we weren't going to spend and were going to be available, such as we knew we weren't going to have the money that was allocated for the audit, for the single audit last year, because it wasn't necessary last year, but it would be necessary this year. So we knew we'd carry that over. And there were a couple other items that we, I think some of the appropriation for the city attorney, we knew we wouldn't be needing. But we had a very conservative carryover portion of the budget. And in order to make sure that the budget balanced, we needed to trim the budget across the board here and there with things that, in case we didn't really have more carryover, we would be in a position to operate throughout the year without being in any trouble. In doing that, though, we knew that, I mean, we anticipated we really would have additional carryover, and the plan was to, once we knew what that carryover was, to get feedback from departments about where we ought to fill some gaps in their budgets, especially things that we cut, supplies here and there, or maintenance on something, that sort of thing. And so this budget now is our opportunity to take the additional carryover that we had, a portion of it, we're not using all of it by any means, I think of maybe about a third or something, and spread some of that money back into the FY24 budget to fill some of the gaps and make sure that we can fully meet the needs of the public and operate the programs in each of our departments at the highest standard that we can. So that's the point of this item.
Thank you, Councilmember Taylor. And the time is 7:43, agenda item FY24-07 NCO, City Held Accounts in FY24 is open for public testimony. Do any members from the public wish to speak at this time? Okay. Yes, we have Treasurer Ben Sadler.
I'm sorry. I was a little confused there for a second. I think that on the sheet that you're looking at, that maybe the clerk wrote it wrong. The budget, or the NCO that we're referring to, is an amendment of department budgets, not of city held accounts. It's just so that everybody's clear on what we're doing
here. What was the title of it?
The title of it.
Okay.
Good point.
All right. Thank you, Treasurer Sadler. So let's see. We don't have any members of the public wishing to speak. Hearing no more comment, it is 7:44 p.m. and the public hearing for FY24-07 NCO is closed. Council, I believe that council member, who do we have here? Taylor, thank you. We'll make a motion to approve the agenda item.
We've been scripted here. Madam Mayor, I move to approve FY24-07 NCO amendment of department budget accounts for FY24 as introduced October 9, 2023.
And is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, the motion is made by Councilmember Taylor and seconded by Councilmember I wish we could your last name. Bishop, thank you. Okay. Do any council members wish to be heard on this issue? Okay, Councilmember Taylor.
Madam Mayor, we discussed in the work session that we have an opportunity to add a service to our road maintenance operation that wasn't anticipated when we budgeted for road maintenance. And our road maintenance contractor has proposed purchasing a piece of equipment that would allow us to peel back berms or break up berms that are hardened along the sides of the road that have developed over many years. Some are there since before we even became a city, and they're largely the result of the spillage off the tip of the blade or gravel or snow that has melted with gravel in it on the shoulder of the road and then has become hardened and You can't just grade it off with the road grader blade, but there is an attachment that will till those up and allow us then to pull that material back onto the road so we can actually make use of it and save having to haul gravel or that whatever gravel we can pull back onto the road from those berms will help us build up the road surface, which we're always trying to do. Plus it, by removing those berms, we restore the correct prism of the road so that the road slopes off towards the ditch, if there is one, or at least to the adjacent ground. And the road then drains better. We don't have a berm holding water on the road that creates a big puddle along the side and makes for a soft road and more road maintenance. So we felt in the work session that it was a useful service to add, and we need to give the contractor some assurance that if they buy the piece of equipment, that we are going to make use of it. We're gonna get the problems with these berms fixed. And so to that end, I'm about to propose an amendment to the road maintenance line to add $15,000 to the budget, and I'll state it in a minute correctly, that would be earmarked for that purpose. And that would give the contractor some assurance that they can go ahead and buy this equipment and we are going to make use of it. And then we would negotiate with them on the actual rates for it. The city administrator can negotiate with them on the rates, and it would be done under the road maintenance contract on a time basis with the equipment. Therefore, I move to amend FY24-07 NCO to increase the FY24 amended budget line for road maintenance from $116,000 to $131,000 dollars, with $15,000 to be earmarked specifically for removal of hardened berms on road shoulders city.
Okay, and thank you, Kyle Bishop. little technical assistance here today. So is there a second to the motion?
Sure, I'll second it.
Okay. Ms. Kowiak seconded. And I'll repeat the motion. If we are ready for the question, assuming that there are no other discussion. Okay.
No, I have my hand raised.
Okay, go ahead, Council Member.
Yes, thank you. So the $15,000 that's earmarked, is that for the fiscal year 24? Will that be a recurring expense from one year to the next? Or can you explain a little bit the $15,000 that's being earmarked?
I think I can answer a question.
Oh, yes, please go ahead.
Janine, you were a little garbled there, but I think you were asking whether this would carry over into future years. This would be an amendment. I mean, this would be an addition to our current fiscal year operating budget. So if we don't spend it all by the end of this fiscal year, then it would any remaining funds would expire with the rest of the budget. However, we can build in a provision in the budget for the next year, for fiscal year 25, to do the same thing. Only it'll be, that piece of equipment would be identified in the RFQ for road maintenance for next year. And maybe we might even consider a longer period of time, but that's a different issue. At any rate, we can provide for that in the next year's budget when we develop the budget and cover it in the road maintenance contract. So this just gets us through this year.
And I believe that, go ahead.
Councilor. So I guess Thank you. I'm still not totally clear in terms of if this is a recurring expense that we're going to be having. When I listened to the meeting at the work session, I thought I understood he said that the unit costs $15,000. And so, and I thought I heard him say it would be, you know, over a period of up to 5 years. And so that's what I'm curious about, if this $15,000 is the total amount that will be paid for the entire time, or if this will be a reoccurring expense each year.
Just to clarify, what they were asking for was that hopefully over 5 years there would be a return on their investment, not that we had to do this over 5 years. But when we were first talking about this, we were talking about adding this much to do sort of a major portion of a bunch of the roads at the outset. And then later on down the road, it would turn into more of a, just like we do grading, or just like we do a turnaround, or just like we do any other thing, it would be a lot less than the first time around reclaiming all the gravel. And hopefully it would pencil out to where there was less loads of gravel having to get put on the road and hauled for those costs, when they could come along with that piece of equipment, put the material back on the road, and grade it all at the same time without having to haul additional material. Doesn't mean they're never going to have to do that. It just means it's sort of after a one-time, let's get all the roads like that, then we hope that it will just be a routine maintenance thing after that. So that is the way I understood it and the approach I believe we're taking with it.
Thank you.
Okay, is there any more discussion? Are we ready for the question? So the question is on the adoption of the motion.
On the amendment.
Oh, thank you. Of the amendment. To amend FY24-07 NCO to increase the FY24 amended budget line, new total for road maintenance budget line from $116,000 to $131,000, with $15,000 to be earmarked specifically for removal of hardened berms on road shoulders citywide. May we have a roll call vote, Madam Clerk?
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay. The next item is item... Okay, Madam... Other Clerk?
I'm sorry. Now you'll need to have another roll call vote on the main motion as amended.
Yes, ma'am. Could we please have a roll call vote on them? Okay, thank you. And is there any additional council comment? None heard. Shall we proceed with the main motion as amended?
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Next item is item number 10, the FY24-08 NCO AMLIP Reserve, introduced October 9th, 2023. And if I could ask the Treasurer, Ben Sadler, to give us a brief explanation.
So basically, when we adopted the policy to redistribute the funds in the AMLIP accounts, a few things that we decided. One was that we wanted to get the AMLIP reserve up to the same amount as the adopted budget, the $1.178 million. And the ways that we decided to do that were to first to close the road maintenance AMLIP account because we saw that as being road maintenance is in the budget, didn't necessarily need to have its own separate reserve account. So so we closed that. We put that money towards the reserve. Then to make up the balance, I had to move funds from the capital long-term improvement AMLIP account to get it up. The original one in the packet, the numbers have changed a little bit. When I did it, I believe. Road maintenance was at a certain amount. I'm sorry, I don't have that number in front of me, but anyways, we made a few more $1,000 interest over last month on the road maintenance account. So I did adjust the figures a little bit to balance it all out from what's in the packet, but basically as they go through, the reserve account will be $1.178 million. To match the budget, the road maintenance account will be closed.
Would any members of the public like to address the item number 10, FY24-08NCO on the AMLIP reserve? Okay, no members of the public coming forth. The hearing is closed at 7:57. And we're ready for a motion to approve the agenda item. I believe that's Council Member Driscoll.
I move to approve FY24-08 NCO AMLIP Reserve introduced 10-9-2023.
Okay, is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Okay, Council Member Taylor seconds the motion. And at this point, is there a council of the, is the council wish to debate the motion with Council Member Driscoll going first? Okay, no discussion being heard. Are we ready for the question? The question is for the adoption of motion item number 10 on the in the packet FY24-08NCO AMLIP Reserve. Could we have a roll call vote, please, Madam Clerk?
Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, the third and final item on the ordinance for public hearing is FY24-09NCO Capital Current Transfer, introduced October 9th, 2023, and it's item 11 in the packet. The time is 7:58, and the matter is open for public comment. Do any members of the public wish to speak? Seeing none, the hearing, no comment. Public hearing is closed at 7:59. And I believe that Council Member Patrick wishes to make a motion to approve the agenda item.
I move to approve FY24-09NCO Capital Current Transfer introduced October 9th, 2023.
Okay, and do we have a second? Okay, I'll second it. Mayor Owens. And Do you wish to make a public comment or to start council debate on the item? Okay. She shakes her head and says no. We'll call for the question if everyone's ready. The question is on the adoption of the motion to approve FY24-09 NCO capital current transfer introduced October 9th, 2023. Madam Clerk, could we have a roll call vote?
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay, and we have no unfinished business this month. The next item is new business, and we have one item, which is the carry.
Point of order.
Yes, ma'am.
We have that resolution that we moved down to here, so we now have two.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yes, that is CY23-13, the shared fisheries business tax for FY24. We've had a description of it by Treasurer Ben Sadler. And let's see here. Do I have a motion to
read it first? Or what? You want to read it first? Or?
Oh, yes, we do have to read it. Thank you. Yes. Okay, that. Alrighty, I'll go ahead and read this. It's item number 8, resolution CY23-13. Oops, just lost it. Let me pull it up again. A resolution adopting an alternative allocation method for the FY24 shared fisheries business tax program and certifying that this allocation method fairly represents the distribution of significant effects of fisheries business activity in FMA 17 Northern Southeast area. Whereas AS 29.60.450 requires that for municipality to participate in the FY24 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program, the municipality must demonstrate to the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development that the municipality suffered significant effects during calendar 2022 from fisheries business activities. And whereas 3 AAC 134-060 provides for the allocation of available program funding to eligible municipalities located within fisheries management areas specified by the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. And whereas 3 AAC 134-070 provides for the use at the discretion of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development of alternative allocation methods which may be used within fisheries management areas if all eligible municipalities within the area agree to use the method and the method incorporates some measure of the relative significant effects of fisheries business activity on the respective municipalities in the area. And whereas the Gustavus City Council proposes to use an alternative allocation method for allocation of FY24 funding available within the FMA 17:NSA, in agreement with all of the municipalities in this area participating in the FY24 Shared Fisheries Business Tax Program. Let's see, move it up just a touch. Now, therefore, it is resolved that the Gustavus City Council by this resolution certifies that the following alternative allocation method fairly represents the distribution of the significant effects during 2022 of fisheries business activity in FMA 17:NSA. All municipalities share equally 50% of allocation. All municipalities share remaining 50% on a per capita basis. Okay, passed and approved. So Madam Clerk, can we have a roll call? Nope, one more. What do I do?
We will first need a motion.
Okay.
This was not in the cheat sheet since it got moved.
All righty. Could I have a motion to adopt the resolution CY23-13.
Yeah.
I move we adopt CY23-23 shared fisheries business tax for FY24.
Okay, I have a correction. I think it's CY23-13. Yeah, that's an error.
CY23-13, shared fisheries business tax for FY24.
Thank you, Member Bishop. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay, and Member Taylor seconds it. Now may we have a roll call vote, please.
Council Member Bishop?
Yes.
Council Member Taylor?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
Councilmember Kobiak?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. And moving on to item 12. See a little bit of a conflict here in our agenda and on our cheat sheet. It's the award of RFQ FY24-04 Salmon River Play Equipment Installation. Okay. Sure. And Councilmember Taylor, would you give us a little bit of an overview of this?
Certainly. Well, usually we have a motion first, right? And then we have this. Well, either way, mm-hmm. I can give you a quick review.
Okay.
I think everybody's aware of the history of our Salmon River Park Play Equipment Project. It was originally proposed by students at the school, and we solicited, we investigated kinds of materials that were available to meet the needs of older children than the existing equipment was suited for. And we got proposals from three different manufacturers and selected the proposal from ExerPlay as prepared by their Alaska rep who's up in Anchorage. We ordered that equipment on one council approval. The equipment has arrived in the last week and a half or so. And so the other piece of the project was to select a contractor to install the equipment. And so we put out an RFQ FY24-04, and we opened bids from two local bidders on that. And the lowest bidder was Gustavus Landscaping and Construction, with a bid of $3,000 to complete the installation. That includes building the pad that it goes on and all that. This item is to award that project to Gustavus Landscaping and Construction.
Thank you. And you were correct about the timing of the motion. Do we have a motion?
Sure.
Okay. This is Councilmember Muscoviac.
I move to award the contract for the Salmon River Play Equipment Installation to Gustavus Landscaping and Construction pursuant to that company's response to RFQ FY24-04.
All right. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, Councilmember Taylor. Right. And at this time, we'll ask if there's any comment from public members about this item. Okay, hearing none. Oh, okay, we're moving on to council debate now. And Councilmember Driscoll would like to speak.
Yes, thank you. I'm just looking at this really large discrepancy between the two bids, between the Gustavus Construction bid that's almost $20,000 and the landscaping one that's $3,000. And I'm curious how that can be such a huge discrepancy, and if indeed the $3,000 is really going to cover what's needing to be done in the contract.
You understand her question?
I didn't understand everything she was asking, but is she asking about the difference?
Yes, I'm asking about the huge discrepancy in the two amounts, and I'm concerned that if the low bid isn't really going to be enough to cover what's in the contract.
You're asking if we have sufficient funds with the equipment and the installation? No. What?
Maybe I can answer.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I can't figure out which.
I think I captured what she's asking. She noticed there's quite a bit of difference between the two bids, and she wanted to make sure that the bidder who was the low bidder is confident that they can do the project for the amount that they bid. And to begin with, different contractors have different views about how they're going to do it and how much money they want to make and what it's worth to them to do the project. So you can have great discrepancies in bids. And in this case, though, our city administrator did contact the bidder, and the bidder has confirmed that, yes, he fully understands what's involved in it, and that's his bid to complete the work.
Okay. Is there any additional discussion on this item? Okay, if not, are we ready for the question? We are. Madam Roll Call, Madam Clerk.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
Councilmember Makoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Bishop?
Yes.
The motion passes.
All right, our next item are council member reports. This item is not to be confused with the next item, council questions and comments. Council members wishing to make a report on special projects can do so now. I believe the first is bike path updates by council member Moskowiak.
Yeah, well, it's been frustrating. We submitted, this is the Safe Streets and Roads for All, and it's a federal grant. And we thought it applied very well here, and I think it does. And we submitted an application, but in the process of submitting it, we worked with a consulting firm. I think they were hired by the Department of Transportation to help communities like ourselves. And so we had them looking over our shoulder, and we got everything together, and we submitted it. And then we got this note saying, oh, you made some mistakes here. You need to change this. And so we made those changes. And again, with these people looking over our shoulder. And then we submitted those. And a while later, we got, this isn't complete here. We need something else. So we did this, I think we did it four times. And we submitted it. And they originally were expecting to I think they liked it, or else they would have just, not been asking us to these questions. But they were expected to make notifications in October, but apparently they're making them in October. They've made some, but they'll make some more in December. So we've just got our fingers crossed on that.
Okay, thank you.
In fact, my fingers are, as I was talking with the consultant, I said, my fingers are super glued together, crossed.
Okay, thank you. Next item, Council Member Driscoll, would you like to give us a beach wheelchair update?
Yes, thank you. So it is unfortunate that the used wheelchair that came from sale didn't meet our needs. And I know a lot of us had an opportunity to push it around on the carpet, and we found that it was very difficult to move on the carpet. It didn't have the footrests, and the chair itself slid from one side to the next as it was attached to the axle. And Mayor Owens decided to return it because it would be more maintenance and jerry-rigging than our staff provide. So it's unfortunate that that did not meet our needs. And so I know I got an email from Rachel asking a few questions, and so I'd like to go through just a tad bit of the history, because I know she wasn't here on the entire process of this. And so this is a project that is actually something that is to provide access to people who have limited mobility and want to be able to use the beach area. So when I first started on the council a year ago, one of the big issues was the fact that the Cooperative Resource Management Agreement or known as the CRMA, had been signed between the City of Gustavus, the State of Alaska, the Department of Natural Resources, and it restricted access to the beach to only to non-motorized vehicles. And it also, in that, authorized the City of Gustavus to manage the beach park lands. And so there are people who are concerned correctly that now there is a limited access to people who do not have the mobility to walk on the beach. And so this project is to address that issue. And it shows that the City of Gustavus listens to the community members concerned about beach access. And it shows we want to be sure that all the community members, their friends, their family, and visitors will have access to not only the beach park, but that surrounding area, particularly the trails and things that go through the golf course. It shows that the City of Gustavus takes the Americans with Disabilities Act seriously, or otherwise known as the ADA. In 1990, President George Bush signed into law the ADA, and it protects the rights of individuals with disabilities to access public places, and it requires newly designed state and local government facilities to make sure there is ready access and use by individuals with disabilities. And so that was the impetus for this project, which includes a all-terrain vehicle, shall we say, in the form of a beach wheelchair, a walker, and the walker was specifically added because of a community member talking with me in great detail about her father and the advantages it would have. That there is a baby jogger, like a stroller, and that was added in order to allow families to use the beach instead of pushing their own stroller, which is definitely not accessible on a beach, to be able to then have entire families together on the beach. You know, when we were planning the park addition for the swing set and things, the students were coming and talking with us about the Salmon River Park. I was very, very impressed that it was the school children who talked with us about how important it would be that this new playground equipment would allow for a wheelchair to be there. And so I'm very impressed that the children in this community are seeing the importance of the inclusion. And so I think that as council members, we need to lead by example and set that expectation that Gustavus is a community that values all people, regardless of their physical needs. And so this project is not done for any one particular person. It's not really even done for the people who are here now. I think about visitors who come. I think about the many people that I know personally here in Gustavus, who, as we are getting older, get less and less ability to physically move. People who have had strokes or cancer or other reasons, and they're not anymore able to access the beach. It gives them an opportunity to have a loved one push them down to the beach and watch the Fairweather Mountains and do everything that anyone else would want to do in our beautiful place. And so if you want more information about the beach park and how it's the CRMA affects us, you can go on the Gustavus website, and there is a section on the beach park with all that documentation. And I would encourage all of us to be knowledgeable of that. And so again, that's on the website. If you want more information about the ADA, there's lots of information there as well. And so this is a project that really is going to put us into compliance with the American Disabilities Act. There were questions that people were wanting to ask of the manufacturer, and I think that's a great idea. And then questions people wanted to ask of other entities that have used these. I've reached out to the distributor, and she's given me the name of several municipalities and places that rent their equipment, and they are willing to answer any questions. So I'm going to ask the people who have specific questions that they would like me to ask. I'm going to be contacting them the next week. So if you can get me your questions via email by Friday, I will certainly include those in the questions that I ask to the people who are using these products. On the little report that I sent to the clerk who sent on to you, there you will see there is a whole host of comments that were on the website about their the reviews. On their page is also the links to the equipment, as well as the links to videos, so you can actually see who's being used in action. I've done a lot of talking with people about how are we going to store this, and I've gotten lots of input about places and type of storage areas. And what I hear from most people is they wanted to have a very small visible footprint. And so I see that to be something, a shed that is only the size of the equipment itself. Think of something, I don't know, the size of a doghouse, or maybe the size of something you would store your trash cans in if you lived in a city. And so it will have a very low profile. I've talked to people who think about using it, and they want to make sure that the shed would be close to where the trailhead is, where the hardened trail begins. And so there's a row of trees there that could be potentially a good place to put it. And in terms of the funding, I think Mike might be able to address that more, as there was monies left over from the Beach Hardened Trail project. And now I'm really happy to see that there's going to be monies that would perhaps have been spent on the playground equipment that we won't be needing to spend. And so that's basically the information I have, and I'm willing to take any questions, and hopefully you will follow up by looking at some of those links.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember Driscoll. Does anyone have any questions? Okay. Mayor's report is up next, and I believe this will be included in the packet for online. I don't have too much to say. Two major issues that we've been dealing with are the directive we heard about from TSA requiring law enforcement presence available for the airport to have Alaska Airlines come to Gustavus. DOT is responding to the confidential letter, and we are waiting on their response. This is a matter between the federal and state agencies, but we, as has been mentioned, put out requests for an estimate of the fiscal impact that would have on the tourism industry in the city. We're not proceeding with pursuing the idea of a VPO, so which some people were concerned about, or other alternative until we hear from DOT. Senator DeKeel and Representative Andy Story are also looking into the matter. The other issue I've put in some time in the last couple of weeks in is the disputed public access on the spur road leading up to the Falls Creek Hydro. We've received correspondence between the FERC, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, and AP&T about the hydro facilities licensing requirement to provide public access. I've also gotten email correspondence and a phone call from the property owners, and have spoken with them and AP&T. I responded to the property owners in writing and provided information to AP&T about the confrontations and obstruction to access. The matter's under discussion between the utility and the owners, and we're prepared to respond with information if needed at the appropriate time. If there are community members that have had issues of confrontation, I would welcome them to get in touch with me so we can kind of keep track of this. I guess my goals for the future, I wanted to work on transparency and comment that Rachel Patrick is a great addition to the council, and I look forward to working with her and implementing her vision for how City Hall can encourage more community input and communication. In August 2019, the council passed Resolution CY-1917 to improve the practice of outreach by the City of Gustavus council members to the community. The resolution was paused during the pandemic, but I think this is a good time to renew the discussion about how we can make it happen. I have been logging the incoming and outgoing city correspondence until we can find a cost-effective way to share it with the community. It's located in City Hall, and anyone is welcome to drop in and take a look. And I'll be providing monthly report about letters, emails, and phone calls we receive that are of particular interest. The emails that I've gotten, as I mentioned, are primarily concerning hydro road access. There was also, again, thanks to Ben, Larry, Elm, and Chris Hart from Western Marine for relocating the steel float and the wood float and the skiff floats up the Salmon River. We received an email from a citizen who's concerned that the floats were moved on short notice during a time he wished to use them for hunting, which we understand and regret. He wasn't given more advance notice, but the treasurer, Ben himself, was given one day's notice of when the float could be moved. The city doesn't have the equipment to move the floats itself and must rely on outside contractors to move them. The citizen also made what I thought was a particularly compelling argument of having a float in place in the event of a natural disaster. But when the city tried this 2 winters ago, the storm damage broke the collars around the pilings. Without a breakwater, it just isn't safe to leave the floats in place. And this is the normal time of year when the floats are relocated, and any delay exposes the workers to the onset of fall storms, limited daylight, snow, and freezing spray. I've asked the council members to let us know what areas of interest they have and what they'd like to work on. And I'm interested in locating and reviewing our plans and policies and procedures, and would like to see a master plan for area-wide road maintenance for ditching and culvert installation. We respond well to emergencies and remediation, but I'd like to see some future planning for flooding events like the one that damaged property off of Wilson Road. I'm also interested in emergency planning for the community. So that's the end of the mayor report, which takes us to city council questions and comments. This is the time for additional questions and comments from council members. That's not part of the agenda. Does anybody have anything they'd like to raise? Nope. Also, public comment on non-agenda items. This is the second opportunity for the public to provide comment if they would like to.
So I did raise my hand in terms of asking a question.
Okay, go ahead.
So, and I'm looking at your mayor's report, and I think, you know, we all, I mean, I think transparency is very, very important as well. And I would like to know if you could just summarize what the resolution CY1917 says.
Okay. Well, I would welcome council members to take a look at it. It has a number of different paragraphs. The therefore be it very resolved states that the city council members shall actively solicit public input, particularly on controversial issues, to the wise of social and print media, regular town halls, informal opinion polls collected in various public locations, surveys, and special elections where needed, along with any other mechanisms deemed appropriate by council members to accomplish this goal. And perhaps we could take this up at one of our work sessions, or even maybe a special meeting. I think that Council Member Bishop may have had an interest in having special meetings, town halls, where we solicit public input. And we have an executive session coming up, so I've been clipping along a little rapidly today trying to get us ready for that.
Yes, can you just make sure that you do go back to the public comment time, because I believe that was interrupted.
Yes, thank you. Would any members of the public like to address the council at this time? Okay.
This is Susan Warner. I'd like to make a comment if I could.
Yes. Thank you, Susan.
I'd like to suggest that the council consider that for our operations manager at the DRC, due to the intensive physical demands of that job, especially for someone working solo some of the time, that the council consider extending the same stipend that goes to the firefighters for a gym membership at GCC to the operations manager to hopefully help him stay supple and strong. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much for that. You're causing some merriment, I mean, among some of the folks here. But thank you, Susan. Would anyone else like have any comment that they'd like to make? All right. And now at this point, let's see here. On occasion, the council will go into executive session to discuss matters which are required to be kept confidential. The ordinance section is 2.30.060. And subjects that qualify for executive session can include attorney-client privilege limited to matters where public interest may be injured, such as avoiding legal liability, litigation strategies, candid discussion of facts, settlement conference on to decision on appeal. At this time, the city council is going to go into executive session with our City Attorney Robert Blasco to discuss matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinances are required to be confidential, to discuss with the City Attorney Sirocco and Etherington versus the City of Gustavus in the State of Alaska, 1JU20-00758, MDL number 2:18-MN-2873-RMG. And does a council member wish to move to enter executive session? Councilmember Bishop?
I move to convene an executive session to discuss matters which by law, municipal charter, or ordinance are required to be confidential, to discuss with the city's attorney, Sirocco and Etherington versus the City of Gustavus and the State of Alaska, 1JU-20-00758, MDL number 2:18-MN-2873-RMG.
Are there any objections? Seeing none. Okay, can we have a second, please? Okay. And Taylor, hearing none, the motion, and are there any objections to the motion and which has been seconded? The motion passes by unanimous consent. At this point, the folks in Zoom need to know that we're going to be entering a breakout room where there'll be no recording for executive session. Action will be taken after the session when the council returns to the general meeting Zoom once finished with executive session to continue the meeting. We'll be closing the general meeting and opening the executive session at 8:31. We may take a few minutes to ensure that our attorney, Bob Blasco, is online, and I don't know whether folks want to take a little break while we set this up. Thank you.
I am on, Mayor, if you can hear me.
Oh, that's Bob. No. Yeah. And then we're going to gather them back up. Okay. How are we doing in public? Do you have anybody? Okay. Oh.
Give all participants 60 seconds for them. So once this gets down to nothing, Shelly, and then you can do your call back to general set.
Okay, can you tell me? Because I can't see.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I think I can barely see it. This is like a vision test.
Okay.
Okay. Are we ready? Okay, we are resuming general session at 9:05 p.m. Okay, at this point, do we have a motion, Councilmember Taylor?
Yes, Madam Mayor. I move to authorize the city attorney to proceed with the current course in Sirocco and Etherington the city of Gustavus and the state of Alaska, comma, 1JU-20-00758, comma, MDL number 2:18-MN-2873RMG.
Okay, is there a second?
Sure, I'll second that.
Okay. Motion is made by Councilmember Taylor, seconded by Councilmember Skowiak. I think we will bypass the summary because of confidential nature. Is there any public comment at this time?
Not public. Oh.
By the public comment?
No. Yes, there is.
You don't? Okay. Okay. All right, let's see. Okay, are we ready for the question? All right. The question is on the adoption of the motion to authorize the city attorney to proceed with the current course in Sirocco v. Etherington v. the city of Gustavus in the state of Alaska, 1JU20-00758 MDL number 2.18. I remember what is it, dash or hyphen, dash MN-2873-RMG. May we have a roll call vote?
Madam Mayor?
Yes.
Councilmember Driscoll?
Yes.
Councilmember Patrick?
Yes.
Councilmember Mikoviak?
Yes.
Councilmember Bishop?
Yes.
Councilmember Taylor?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Okay. Is there any further business before the council? Seeing none. If there's no further business, the meeting is adjourned at 9:07 p.m. Oh, excellent.